Okay, anybody else with a question? Be happy to see what I can do with it. 884AV is listening.
KW4HD, Edison, hello. Was thinking about putting in a dipole in my backyard. I am one of the newbies, and I could stretch it diagonally north and south in the backyard, but I'm not sure about bringing the feed line down, how long you can make that, and where you should ground that as well.
All right. The dipole can be anywhere. The feed line can be almost anywhere. It's nice if you can orient the antenna maybe across your house in such a way that the feed line falls down close to one of the walls of your house. That's always convenient if that's possible. Otherwise, you just have to run it wherever you have to. The nice thing is, cable length on HF is not really that much of an issue. When you look back at the loss per 100 feet, once you get down to about 30 megahertz, the loss per 100 feet on decent cable is minimal. So you can have almost as long a cable as you want. So that's not an issue. But I would suggest that you rig up your a grounding system that when your cable comes down, you go to a ground bus and lightning arrestor, and you've established the ground rod right where that is the most convenient. Then leave whatever grounding system you have and then enter the house. That's probably the safest thing you can do. That rod could also be your station ground if it works out to be that way. But if that's not the case, then that ground rod and any other ground rods you have should be interconnected to form a network. All your ground rods should be grounded together, should be bonded, in other words.
Roger that, thank you. Was wondering about lightning arrestor too. What is that? Is that just a gap where the lightning can jump across to the ground? Or what actually is that, a lightning arrestor?
All right, I forget what the term is they have for a brand of them. They do have them that is nothing more than sharpened points between the center and the housing. They're not the ones of choice. I wish I could remember the brand name of it. But generally, they have a little ionization cell. It is gas-filled, and if you exceed a certain voltage, this thing will break down and conduct, much like neon. Or helium, the helium neon for the little indicator lights, they break down at about, somewhere around 60 volts, if memory serves me right. But these little cells, if you have a lightning strike, the cell fires and it pretty much destroys itself in the process. And it usually has a screw cover, and you can get a little replacement cell and drop back in there. It's not unlike putting a watch battery in, but that cell is good for one strike and then you have to change it. But they're the best ones. The ones that just have an arc gap, that's better than nothing, but the ones that have the gas-filled cell in it are the best.
Roger that. Thank you. Last comment was I saw in the ARRL issue that they may be allowing more antennas in HOA areas and a homeowners association, and I hope that's true. Over.
Well, they've been pushing for that for a number of years. The FCC is reluctant to go any further than they have, saying that it's good for the country. But unless Congress steps up to the bat with something that is more push for the FCC, nothing's going to go much past where it is now. But there is a move afoot to try to get Congress to approve less restrictions on the Homeowners Association. So I think you know the gist of it.
KE4UP repeater.
KW4HD. Gentlemen, thank you so much for the info. KW4HD is clear.
All right, I've already had more response tonight than I thought I would. This is great. Any other questions or technical subjects, please go ahead. This is something I dearly enjoy.
KG4MZ.
Evening, Doc.
Good evening. Not really a question, just a comment. My one objective there in Dayton is going to be to go in there with a plan as far as setting up a Anderson power pole power distribution for both my home rig and the one in the vehicle. So the one in the vehicle, what I'd like to do is be able to set it up where I can I have enough spare ports on that where I can just take my 897 rig out and go out somewhere and just hook into the Anderson system and operate off the vehicle. And so not really a question, I know you're very proficient in the power poles and need to put a plan together for implementing Anderson there in my house and my vehicle. KG4MZ.
I didn't put Anderson power pole in the vehicle, but I did run number 10 wire to the battery with a fuse right off of the battery on the positive lead and took both wires from the ground point that the battery uses and, of course, the positive battery terminal through the fuse and brought that through the firewall. And then set up any distribution that I wanted under there. Sometimes taking these fuse holders and such things through a firewall is a bit cumbersome. So if you establish your own power point underneath of your dashboard with suitable wiring and protected, then you can do anything you want to and it's still inside the passenger compartment and it makes it much more convenient.
I've got a FT350 in the vehicle, and anyway, came with I believe it was 10 gauge, and it's fused right at the right near the battery terminals, and was not too much of a problem getting through the firewall. Had a nice grommet there with about an inch and a quarter diameter opening, so wasn't too bad. And then I ran that through the interior molding and underneath the floor mats there. And anyway, I've got the radio mounted in a sort of a made up wooden box that I had put together. And the power goes straight into the back of the radio, and so I really don't have any strain relief or ability to move that radio around if I really want to. So objective is to get some a little bit longer wire in there and terminate it on an Anderson power pole and then go off that to the 350 radio and then have a spare pair for the 897 when I choose to take that out. Back to you.
Well, sounds like you got a plan. HF in my vehicle is probably not something I'm going to do. If you're working single sideband, I can't do that while driving. It requires more attention to the radio than I want to give it, being as driving is full time. But if you are going somewhere to operate, then that's a whole nother issue. You'd think in a truck you'd have all the room in the world. I had a heck of a time getting just two number 10 wires with no fuse on it or no terminals through the firewall. So I finally found a boot that had wires going through, and I managed to get a little slot through that I could use and I went through that. But again, you never go through a metal firewall without having the wiring fused. That's just asking for trouble. Oh, you're talking about upgrading the station in your vehicle. I've ordered all new connectors for the, I want to redo all the wiring on my station inside. And I've got two switches, one that I can switch between the radio and a service connection if I'm working on a radio that I can get into my antennas without having to unhook everything. And I've got one that's got BNC connectors, another with TNC, and the radios have UHF. So today I ordered everything in the world I needed to change all of this stuff and go direct. No adapters. So I'm looking forward to that. So when I get my beam up in the air, then I can switch between them easily and do it effectively.
Yeah, very nice. I will not be operating HF Mobile. Even working the repeaters. I keep two hands on the wheel, and I pick up the mic. The mic sits in my lap, and pick it up, talk, put the mic down, put the hands back on the wheel. So very conscientious about that. But I like to go out to Fort Monroe. Got salt water and good obstacle clearance. So for the time when wet weather's inclement or I want to go somewhere where I don't have any cover, to be able to sit stationary and work out of the vehicle would be pretty good, I think. But right now I work the 897 off its batteries, and prop is marginal, and I have a hard time. I'm only working 20 watts on batteries on HF, so want to get full input power so I can put 100 watts out of it. But my radio project for the summer. Back to you.
I wonder how lithium batteries would make up as a pack for that. They're very robust and pack a lot of energy for their weight. I know that radio is set up with batteries, but I don't know what the batteries are. Are these just knockheads or... I reckon you could have D-cell metal hydrides. That would give you a right good, but they're heavy and as compared to the lithium batteries. But these batteries like the flashlights use, the 18650s, would make right nice batteries that you could possibly make up as a pack.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure of the composition right off the top of my head, but when you use the battery, of course, there's a. It's actually a pair of batteries, and with one battery online at a time. And anyway, the radio automatically on HF defaults back to 20 watts out, and with about a 10, 15, 20% duty cycle, you'll be good for about 4 hours, and. So been out a few times with it, and made contacts I shouldn't have probably been able to make, and then was not able to make contacts I should have made. So the nature of HF. Back to you.
AA4AV. Yeah, I was thinking, and talking to the first fellow here tonight, that if people speak up when they check in to the net, if they announce that they have a topic they would like to have for discussion, that might be a way of knowing at least somebody might be around. So I may encourage that kind of thing. But I believe this has a place. Just inaugurate it and have three people show up. That's pretty good.
KE4UP repeater.
Yeah, I concur. KJ Farms. Even those nights where Chris gives his emergency management program, or I do a drill there on the third Monday. Have it. I think we have it. Directly after the net turns over. I think that'll be good. And anyway, that's one of those things. Again, we can when we give a test session, you know, we can sort of emphasize that when we give them the one page brochure. And I think it'd be one good addition as far as trying to keep the get the new hams involved with the group and involved technically in getting their station set up. Back to you.
If they're comfortable with us in the training class, they've identified who we are. We're not going to hang them out to dry. If they ask a question, there's a lot of people that could probably be listening that'll benefit from whatever the answer is. So I think it's a heck of a format. I just hope it'll catch on.
Yep, all we can do is try. KJ Forms it.
Well, Don, thank you for jumping in tonight. Let's see if there's anybody else around. This is AA4AV, open for any further discussion.
Kilo Mike 4, India Charlie Echo. I've got a comment and a question.
Well, please go ahead with your comment. I hope I can help you with the question. This is AA4AV.
Well, good evening, Addison. Thank you for hosting this. My comment is for KW4HD in regards to the HOA. I am under those same restrictions here, and I have been operating successfully for the last couple of months, as I am a new ham, with a DBJ-1. It's a dual band J pole made by Ed Fong. I got it on eBay, and it does really, really well, better than some of the commercial antennas that I use. So if you're still listening, you may want to look that up. My question is, when measuring an antenna, do you measure from the top of the antenna? Well, let me rephrase that, to antenna height from ground to top. Do you measure from the ground to the top of the antenna, or do you measure from the ground to the connection point on the base of the antenna?
Well, you could use any point of reference you want. Generally, I look at where the middle of the emitting area is, the active portion of it. Of course, in a J-pole, the bottom quarter wave does not radiate. The top single portion of it is where the radiation comes from. So the effective height is about the middle of that.
Thank you very much. I've been struggling trying to find an answer to that question for numerous days now, and I think you just cleared it up. I appreciate you hosting this, and I'm gathering quite a bit of information by listening, and I hope this continues. I plan to join in again. That's all I got for this evening, so thank you again. AA4AV, KM4ICE.
Please give me your name. If you gave it, I didn't remember it, but and I'm horrible about names, so please, no one listening be offended if I can't remember it. The technical side of things, I do well. Names, I don't do worth a hoot. So, but please give me your name again.
Name here is Patrick. I'm sorry, I forgot to add that in. And I, too, I'm very forgetful when it comes to names and call signs. I have a really, really hard time keeping up with the call signs, following the net, and it's still apparently a learning process for me. So, again, thank you very much. Name here is Patrick, Kilo Mike 4, ICE.
Well, Patrick, if you remember back to the class, the pattern off of a dipole, which a J-pole is, an in-fed dipole, has a donut pattern. So the middle of the dipole is the point where the biggest part of your radiating is taking place. Now, if you've got something with multiple elements, still about the midpoint is where that is the most effective reference point. Anyway, I have got a long distance call coming in. Please excuse me just one moment. AA4AB.